Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What a sad news. You heard it on CBS there, and I'm starting to see it reported all over the internet as well. Scientist Stephen Hawking passing away at the age of 76. And we'll talk about that this hour, too. That's a bummer. Real big bummer. You just had that movie came out, that movie about his life. What was it called? I don't know, but it was pretty good, and the actor did an excellent job portraying him. It's amazing he lived as long as he did. His life expectancy with his disease was something that should have ended his life a long time ago, but he persevered and he continued to contribute in many, many positive ways in the scientific community. So we'll talk about it a little bit later. Welcome back to Overnight America. Chris Raby joins us. Welcome back to Missouri.
It's good to be back.
You were working all day and all night down in Florida.
But yeah, it was a good time, though.
You soaked in a lot of baseball. Did it feel great?
It did. The weather was great. Obviously was a bit of a harsh welcome back to come back here, and it was snowing.
You came back on Sunday during the snow?
Yeah, I came back Saturday night and wake up Sunday morning and it starts snowing. So,
and it didn't seem like it wanted to stop. It was snowing for the most part of the whole day.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's like supposed to be spring. It's spring in like a week, isn't it?
Yeah, so, how long were you down there for? It was almost a month.
For a month, yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite a difference. Beautiful weather, baseball, you're outdoors all day, and then all of a sudden you come back and it's snowing.
But it means that we're very close to opening day, which will be, you know, next Thursday or two weeks from this Thursday, in New York. And then 3 weeks from this Thursday is the home opener. So
unbelievable.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't
man.
It feel good to know that it's around the corner? It's comforting to know baseball is back.
Yeah. And I just we talked about it all night that this is the best time of year for sports with, you know, baseball starting and March Madness and the Masters and the NBA and NHL going down to the wires. So it's a great time, man.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good. It's been a lonely month without you.
Aww. Oh,
yeah.
It's very nice of you to say.
But you did check in through your busy schedule, and I was very much appreciated that. So it's good to have you back.
Happy to do it. Happy to chat, even though, yeah, I said I hoped I wasn't like half asleep or a zombie for most of the time, but It's a cool thing. Anyone who is a big Cardinal fan, I just cannot recommend enough getting to spring training because it's such a different and unique experience in terms of how close you are to everyone, the access that you have, and just watching a baseball game in that environment in a small ballpark is really, really cool. Yeah. So, love it.
How many brackets do you fill out for the NCAA tournament?
I fill out just one, and then I'll join a couple of different groups. But
with the same bracket?
Yes, just the one bracket. Yeah. Like, I hate the person that's like, well, you know, in this bracket, I have Kansas over Duke. But in this one, I have Duke over Kansas. And in this one, I had Michigan State beating Duke before they even get to face Kansas.
Like, yep, no.
You can't be rooting against yourself.
Yeah, it's like when you have multiple fantasy football leagues and your quarterback's playing against your other player and you hope they don't
trim
score.
That stuff down.
I hate that,
I had to clean that up. But You were kind of bragging to me about some of your bracket strategy.
Oh, it's a foolproof strategy. It works maybe a quarter of the time. So if you can win an office pool 25% of the time, I think that's a pretty good strategy. And it's worked very well for me in the past.
Are you going to spill the beans?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's a very simple strategy. You find someone that you like in the sports media and you copy their bracket. Like, there's a little things. Like, for example, the Missouri-Florida State. The one I copied had Florida State going. I picked Missouri to beat that one.
Who did you pick? Are you going to reveal your... I guess, you know what? You probably shouldn't reveal it.
I went Virginia. I had them winning it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had them going all the way. That's who I had Virginia taking on Michigan State in finals.
I like it.
So and that's exactly how the person I stole the bracket from went.
But that's some small
variations.
Because there are a lot of people who are paid a lot of money to follow every aspect of college basketball. It's just too much. I can't do it.
And it works. I don't know why. It cuts through office bias. So if you're in an area where there's a high concentration of super fans, it cuts through the bias. Yeah. So I don't have to. I feel like that doesn't influence me as much, even though I'm an out of town or just moved in.
Florida State, like, and if you were in our office pool, the Entercom office pool, you could probably get a bit of an advantage by picking Florida State.
Yeah, but I just don't think they're going to win. So that's why. So what about you? Do you have your insights onto this?
I don't really have any great insights. My strategy would be kind of to go against, like, I think a lot of people are going to have Virginia get into the Final Four, get into the championship. So I will fade Virginia. I will stay away from Virginia.
Okay.
The same goes for, like, Villanova.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people picking them.
A lot of people. And they're great. They were in the title last year. So I don't blame people for picking them. You know, for me, it's just kind of go through, make your picks, and stick with them. Because there's so much randomness in this tournament that I feel like when you get into trouble is when you second guess and you go back and you change stuff. Just, it's random. Nobody knows. There are a lot of upsets that people don't predict. A couple of years ago, it was Michigan State as, like, the number one seed in the whole thing. I think they lost in the first or second round, or maybe they were a two seed. They lost to Middle Tennessee here in St. Louis. So it's just, it's random. Like, just go with your gut, make your picks, and if you have a system like you do, stick to it and then see how it goes.
Not everyone has. I feel like the old lady that walks into a casino and she knows which nickel slot she's going to just by the sound and the smell of it. You know, if you want to go
smells
to a place.
Smells like cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that, and if it smells like a lot of coins, you know, they're a hot area. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
You have a lot of really wealthy people playing the nickel slots in the casinos.
That's my kind of people.
Yes, there you go.
You can tell this sort of thing based on how I dress and how I refuse to buy new shoes.
You know, pick your spots. Yeah. Make your picks and stick with them. And if you want to cheer for Mizzou, then pick Mizzou. You don't want to be cheering against Mizzou. If you're a Mizzou fan, it's fine. Yeah,
it's more fun when you have something to root for, right?
Yeah, like, no doubt.
A lot of these games, you might have interest in Mizzou winning, but then you have about 20 other games you'd have no interest in unless it was for something like this.
I like it. I like it.
There's The Spun. It's a website, a sports site that came up with the 64 most annoying people in sports media. Now, there's some pretty strong number one seeds in this. As someone that is in sports media like yourself, this is hilarious to me. I want to get some of your impressions on some of these people and the seedings of them. Like Stephen A. Smith, a number one seed. I kind of like Stephen A. Smith.
He's crazy. Him and Skip Bayless on the same side of the bracket. That's perfect. Just a couple of things that stand out. Darren Revelle is a two seed. I know he drives people crazy on Twitter.
Dan Dockich is on there. Do you like him?
Yeah, I like Dan. He's good. There are some people on here that I really like.
Tony Kornheiser?
Yeah, never really watched that show, so I don't really have an opinion. But
ding.
There are some people I like on here. Like, I love Joe Buck. And I think that, like,
he's a four seed. Isn't that crazy?
So with a lot of these folks, if they're national broadcasters like Joe Buck, the joke kind of is that everyone just thinks that Joe Buck hates their team because he's not a local broadcaster. And I've heard him talk about this, like, especially baseball is so provincial.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, you know, a full season of Mike Shannon and John Rooney and then the postseason with them. But if you're watching TV, you get Dan McLaughlin and the great Fox Sports Midwest analysts. And they do such a good job that when the postseason comes and you're watching, like, TBS or Fox or whatever, you're like, what the heck? If they're playing it down the middle, it may seem like they're against your team. Yeah. So I think that some of the national guys get a tough shake. Like Tony Romo. I thought Romo was fantastic this year NFL.
That's why he's at a 14 seed. He's down low. Like Tim Tebow's on there, too. He doesn't do a lot of sports broadcasting, does he?
Yeah, he does, like, the SEC stuff.
Oh, okay.
Who's on here that's
Charles
actually
Barkley is crazy.
He's great.
He's so good.
He's the best.
Yeah, Charles Barkley and Shaq together as a team. It's hard to beat that team.
But Barkley's a 13 seed, so I guess that means that people don't think he's that annoying. Greenberg and Golic going against each other in the first round. How about that?
Ooh, that's a big one. You think they're rooting for themselves in that? Do you think they care?
I don't know. Who else is on here that really stands out? This thing is great. So this is from thespun.com.
Yeah, Aaron Andrews is on there, but Keith Olbermann doesn't even do sports anymore, does he?
No, he did for like a little bit last year. I guess it's a real compliment if you're on this thing.
That people care enough to hate you?
Yeah, man. Like that means that people are paying attention. He moves the needle a lot, one way or another. He's got a huge following in the South.
Mm-hmm.
As he's the SEC football guy.
Yeah. Let's
see. Terry Bradshaw.
I thought people, for the most part, like him.
He's just like borderline senile, I think.
Colin Cowherd's a number two seed. How is Chris Collinsworth on there? I didn't think he was that hated.
No, I think like he's really good.
Yeah. I like
Rick Riley Joe doesn't Buck. Do anything anymore, does he?
I'm surprised Joe Buck's a four seed. Woody Page is on there. Then they have some media organizations.
These are just really, this is like a bracket of the 64 most famous people in sports media, essentially.
All right, pick one name on each side of the bracket who you think could go to the finals.
Oh, Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless on the left side and then the right side.
Why is Jemele Hill up there? Just because of the Trump stuff?
Yeah, I would put her. I think I would almost.
It's going to be Skip Bayless and Clay Travis.
You think so? Jemele
Hill.
Which is
a compliment to both of those men because they're both wildly successful, and apparently a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to
them. Like this bracket, I would almost create this bracket around Hill winning it all. Like, I would say, she's terrible. I'm going to make a bracket so she can lose.
But that's because of your political views.
Oh, absolutely it is.
It has nothing to do, have you ever heard her sports commentary?
No.
You just think it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, the term is the most annoying. You just think it's annoying what she uses her platform for.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I look at that. I'm allowed to.
Biases I'm that curious. Way. How is Jim Nantz? He's great.
He's classic. Dan Le Batard's a three seed.
This is the time of Jim Nantz.
Yeah.
The Final Four, and then a couple of days later, the Masters.
Oh, that's right around the corner too, isn't it? Wow.
Come on.
Chris Raby, thanks for spending some time here breaking down some brackets.
Yeah, I wish I had some more hot takes on this sports media bracket. Now, are people going to vote on this, and are they going to show the results?
Yeah, you can go to thespun.com/most-annoying, and you don't even have to register. You can just click who you want. They do them in, like, the divisions, I guess, and then you can just go through it. And
the regions,
tally them up. Yeah, the regions.
Like, you've got the West, South.
Yeah.
East and Midwest.
So like you have the Stephen A. Smith region, you have the Skip Bayless region.
Britt McHenry and Jemele Hill. There you go.
Oh, very fun. Well, welcome back. Good to have you back here, Chris Raby.
All right, buddy. Good to be back.
We are on watch here. I'm trying to keep an eye on CNN and Fox. The election that happened in Pennsylvania today, they wanted to celebrate the win of a Democrat. However, too close to call. They're within a couple of hundred votes from each other, so they're going to have to wait till tomorrow to count all the other votes that are in before they make a determination. So if you're waiting to hear the results of that here tonight, you're not going to. You're not going to hear it till tomorrow. But right now, Lamb apparently is up 49.8% to 49.6%, and they're still trying to count as many as they can. But that's where the latest is. You know, the breaking news, too, Stephen Hawking passing away. I'm going to bring you an update on that and what we do know about it. Wow, what a bummer. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. You know, I'm flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox. I want to know if any of them are reporting Stephen Hawking's passing. But they're not. How do I do the last channel on this? I've been hitting it on this remote. I got to say, even though I'm only 34, I feel like I'm 84 because I can't barely use new technology anymore. It's like I've aged out of everything. Let's pop over to CNN and see what they think. But yeah, Fox News hasn't been reporting Stephen Hawking passing away. Neither has CNN, as far as I've seen so far. They're still covering this neck-and-neck race in Pennsylvania, which is super close. They're counting the absentee ballots, and it's so close they don't want to call it right now. They're probably not even going to call it tonight. But Stephen Hawking passing away at the age of 76. Here's the remote. Oh, the previous channel. Is that how you do it? Cole walks in here and he's like, "You're right here, old man." He's like, "Check your bifocals. Make sure they're operating correctly." He's walking out, making it look like he's using a walker to walk out of the studio. And he's pointing at me, saying, "That is you. That is you." Taunting me at this point with his youth. But yeah, neither of the networks are covering Stephen Hawking's death. 76 years old. So he's lived a long time. I mean, normally the life expectancy of someone with ALS is nowhere near that range, but he had some pretty major accomplishments in science. He has been named to pretty much every honor you can get as a scientist. He was one of the 100 greatest Britons in a BBC poll. I mean, that means something when someone could do that. A Brief History of Time was a best-selling book for him. Very famous book that got him. Lots of notoriety. He has numerous gold medals just for, like, honors that he's been given. I mean, even President Obama gave him an honor here in the United States. They had a movie that came out about him not that long ago. I forgot. Was it Across the Universe? Not, it was something with universe in it. I just can't remember. But it was a really nice little piece, a movie about his life and how he was in college and he was realizing that there was something wrong and then getting checked out, diagnosed with ALS and trying to live and adapt to that sort of thing. Could you imagine, you know, being 18, 19 or whatever it was, how old he was when he found out he had it, or just if it was you. Learning at that age, everything's going so well. You're an up-and-comer. You're a bright mind. You're working, and people have think that you're going to be the next Einstein, and then something like this happens, but not allowing it to stop you. There was one story that that always stood out about Stephen Hawking that I wanted to share because I think this is, well, actually two stories. Let me tell you the one that's my favorite first. He is someone that always wanted to try to prove certain things. Like, he always wanted to prove the existence of God. He wanted to be the one to prove time travel was real. And he always had theories about it, how it could work, if it's possible, if it's not possible. So this is what he did. He decided to do an experiment. Being that he's very popular and people would want to take the opportunity to go to a Stephen Hawking party, you may be thinking to yourself, wow, what a crazy party that was. Stephen Hawking knows how to throw them. Something you'd never say out loud. But he decided to hold and throw a giant party, which no one showed up to. Giant party. Everything was there. He was there. It was supposed to be major fun. No one showed up to. After, I think it was the day after he threw the party, he sent invitations out to everyone, public invitations to everyone he knew, and then just strangers, everything, posting it everywhere. The idea was if you were a time traveler, you would get this invitation, and you would know that you can travel back in time to go to this party. So he was setting a trap for people to come back into this party, but no one showed up, obviously, because you can't time travel. But that's kind of a cool theory, isn't it? He was hoping that someone would see these things after they would come out. But of course, you can't time travel, so it didn't work out. But I thought that was a cool story. The other story is I think we have the same theory when it comes to aliens, because I don't technically believe in aliens, but if they do exist, I feel like we should leave them alone and hide from them. I don't think we want encounters from aliens. If they have the technology to get to us and we don't have the technology to do anything to them, we're in trouble. You want to know why? We'll be either, best case scenario, we'll be their pets. Worst case scenario, they'll manhandle us, toss us out, and take this planet for themselves for whatever they want. But I think that's the more likely scenario. But even the best case scenario, we become their pets. I don't want that. You know, I don't want to have the alien overlords to take over. So he kind of felt the same way. He said, you know, maybe it's best for us to be hidden in the universe, because even if they have the ability to get to us, what's human nature? Think about all the times when we explored. Look what happens, right? We exploit the people that are there through force or whatever. That's just what history has taught us. Who's to say aliens don't think differently? You know, who's to say because they have the technology, their nature's any different from ours? Because hypothetically, the conditions for them to get to where they are today, they had to be very similar to ours, right? The struggle with nature, the struggle with each other, politics, all these other things. They had to go through probably the same stages we have. So their nature and their mindset have to be similar to ours, just based on if they exist, they probably came up the same way we did. So they have to have similar experiences. So I am someone that's on the Stephen Hawking train. Let's leave aliens alone. Let's pretend they don't exist and try to stay away from them. But, you know, he had so many other great things that he did through his life. You know, he kind of bet there was no God. So he's going to find out real quick. The most significant theory is that black holes emit the Hawking radiation. He found this out in 1974. Showed that black holes emit radiation, which may continue till they exhaust their energy and evaporate. So studied a lot on black holes, which we're still trying to figure out. Yeah, the history of the universe, he contributed to the cosmic inflation theory, the top-down theories. Let's see. But, I mean, there's a lot that he's credited with, so best of luck to his theories continuing on. One of the brightest minds that lived, at least in our time frame, passing away now at the age of 76. We'll see you later, Stephen Hawking. Coming up next, I want to talk about the wall, and the immigration debate continues. Plus, Trump fires Rex Tillerson. You'll hear it in his own words coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. A favorite of the show calling in because he has one of the wildest theories I have ever heard. Jerome, Cole was telling me the idea that you told him, and I'm a little bit surprised by it, so I want to hear it from you. So what's your theory on Stephen Hawking?
My theory is essentially he was a human puppet, and that last several years he hadn't actually been functioning like they think, or they like us to think, they have perpetuated. I think he basically is spouting off stuff other geniuses or a genius has knowledge of or theories of, and they are using him to get those theories out there, and basically they're just adding on to the legacy of Stephen Hawking because they themselves do not have the notoriety, but they want the theories out there, and with him being the backer, backing up the ideas with his name and so forth, they can get him across better and be more accepted.
Okay, so this is a pretty wild theory. Now, I got to ask, what makes you believe that is true? Is there any indication that would say any of that is true?
Watching him talk, it's a robot voice. My name is Stephen Hawking. Believe what I say.
So you're, because he had to use this device, this electronic computer device, in order to communicate, you believe that. So what was he? Was it like Weekend at Bernie style? So was it an actual, like, was it a dummy sitting in a wheelchair that looked like a human? I don't understand.
No. I think he was a human, but I think the poor guy was basically, and I'm not making fun of anybody, basically a vegetable, and was no longer really able to so much function.
Okay, so bodily speaking, so the organs were still alive, he was still breathing, but someone else was communicating on his behalf.
Exactly. Basically, It was like when somebody says, you know, their pet is saying, "Hi, Mommy, I love you," when a pet is not really saying, "Hi, Mommy," or "Hi, Daddy, I love you." They were basically doing that for Stephen Hawking.
So it was like a ventriloquist act.
For a couple of years, I figured out, I'm like, wait a minute, this is horse hockey.
Well, hold on. Why would any scientist not want to take the credit for their genius? Like, why would they want to pawn it off on a Stephen Hawking and say, I'm going to just allow him to take credit for my thoughts?
In comic books, they got these people who are ghosts. And what they are, they draw the comics, and then other guys, or in the older days, they would take the credit.
Uh-huh.
So I think basically, these other people, they don't have enough scientific backing for anybody to care about what they think, but they get money, and or at least recognition their ideas do, by doing it through this way. I've had this theory for a little while, because I'm like, there's no way that he is actually doing anything to make this come out like this. I mean, come on, I told Cole, it's a Houdini trick is what they're trying to do to us.
Jerome, I got to say, I've heard some conspiracies in my day. This may be one of my favorite that I don't believe in. But I do like the idea of this conspiracy. So is there any way you can tie this into the Illuminati controlling him for world domination or anything like that?
Maybe, but I don't really believe in Illuminati that much.
Well, you could now, because apparently they were the ones controlling Stephen Hawking. Ooh, that could be the new one.
No, I don't think he...
It's the scientific community. Okay,
so... His orchestrators, his family or whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
boy. Would benefit financially, because he had a wife. You know, how good was he to her? I mean... He's a puppet.
Come on. Just because he was disabled, it doesn't mean that his wife didn't love him or anything.
He wasn't just disabled. I think it was something weird that she wouldn't... And the guy just would not function.
All right, Jerome, what has Stephen Hawking ever done to you for you to harbor all of this resentment towards him?
I don't resent the man. I think, you know, I'm glad that he had genius and people recognized it, but I don't like it when the world... Play tricks on us.
I see.
And I think that was a big hoax.
By the way, Jerome, people are calling in. They want to talk about your theory. So we're gonna get a couple more calls in here. Listen, because you may be interested in hear what other people think on this awesome conspiracy you just brought up. Thank you, Jerome.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Wow, that may be the most wildest conspiracy I've heard ever. John in St. Louis. Did you hear what Jerome just brought up?
Yeah, I agree it's wild, and I don't believe him at all. I think that's really was Stephen Hawking up to his last dying days.
Right.
But it's interesting he brings it up only because you wouldn't be able to disprove it from what we know, because there's nothing there that says it's, you know, it's not disprovable looking, but it certainly isn't provable either. So I'll stick with that being Stephen Hawking myself.
So how about this, John? We talk a lot about Russian hacking and interference. What if someone hacked him and it was no one knew it was going on?
Yeah, that'd be even more crazy, but maybe possible.
That would be a crazy fan fiction. Yeah. I would read that book.
That'd be great.
The Russians hacked Stephen Hawking. They've been talking on his behalf for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, I would read that.
Especially if they influenced some scientific, the way we think about science. That would be weird. I do have a question, a serious question. Well, I was serious. We were both serious before, but I have a serious question also. How do you know how he did communicate with that electronic device? What part of his body or how did he manipulate it to turn it into words? Was it his eyelids? Was it his throat, his tongue? Does anybody know? Because I couldn't ever see his fingers move in his later. So I just wonder how you even manipulated that to get all those words out so quick.
You know, whenever I've seen live interviews with people that sat down with him, like I've seen interviews even back when he wasn't as old, you know, he was in his 70s here when he passed. There was always a long gap between the questions asked and when the answer was. But you're right, I didn't see a lot of movement. I guess I don't know how the device works. It's got to be documented because it's not like, I mean, this was kind of like very cutting edge back when they put it onto him, but it's like really old technology now. He just didn't want to update it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's common. It's pretty common now. I've just never paid close enough attention to see how people manipulate it, and I'd be interested. I'm sure on the internet they would tell us the answer to that.
But, there's all kinds of internet answers for that. You know, that's what the internet exists for. Thank you, John.
All right, thank you.
Oh boy, can I call dibs on that short story? I think it's Stephen Hawking, a year and a half ago, was hacked by the Russians, who were using him to spread propaganda about this past election. That would be an amazing fan fiction. I'm not, you know, I feel bad bringing it up this way. It's I'm not doing it as a way to disrespect him. It's just, maybe it's an idea. Just the sad passing of Stephen Hawking at the age of 76. Let me get to Stephen. Stephen calling in. What's going on?
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good.
I'm calling in from South Roxanna, Illinois. You mentioned something about aliens.
Yes, I have talked about aliens on this program before, and it just happened to bring it up tonight because I shared the thought of Stephen Hawking when it came to wanting to hide from aliens as opposed to interact with them.
Yeah, I got an interesting theory about that one. If we want to hide from aliens, well, wouldn't that be impossible since our radio and broadcast signals have been leaking into space for years?
Yeah, I guess it depends, because we've been searching for decades to find other radio signals, and we can't find any that are out there. So it either indicates we're alone, or it's just impossible, or it's too weak for us to get it here, or there's other things that they use for communication. So they might not be looking for it if they're not sending it back to us. So I don't know. I think there would be traces of where it's coming out, but it takes a long time, and it would be so weak by the time it got there.
Right.
Anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. You know, like I said, when you said that, I was like, maybe I saw a program where Stephen Hawking said it's best to keep our heads low and not reveal ourselves yet.
Yep.
Because fear of that they could be more advanced than we are, and then it'd be a bad day for humans if that happened.
Yes, it would. It would be a day where they show up and we would be overpowered by them. We would be totally at their mercy. So what we would be essentially saying to ourselves is our human nature much different from theirs? As in, they would come here to help us as opposed to, power over us, which I would be more concerned of the latter.
Yeah, I understand that. I would be too. I do a little backyard astronomy on my days off from working at, and it also fascinates me, but it also scares me too.
You do backyard astronomy? Like, what do you look at?
Like I said, I just got a telescope in my backyard, and I can look at the stars and all that.
Uh huh. Have you ever traveled? Have you wanted to go maybe go see like the Northern Lights or, you know, go to some really dark areas where there's no light contamination and you know, stargaze that way?
Yeah, I've always wanted to go up to like the Arctic and look at the Northern Lights, but I never really got around to it. So I just settled for the backyard.
You know, I have an alien story I was going to bring up on the show later tonight. There's the alien story is that there's been another video documented by Air Force pilots. And it's pretty fascinating. And did you see Donald Trump talking about the Space Force? He says we have the Air Force, we have the Army, we have the Navy. We need the Space Force. So we need to start creating a Space Army. Did you hear him talk about that? I was going to get to that later tonight, too.
I heard rumors about that, too, you know. But like I said, I think that's years ahead of us, you know, Space Army.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We're not going to find ourselves in a position where we're going to see a lot of fighting in space. It seems like the amount it takes to get up there, if anything, you're not going to see people messing around with the billions of dollars it takes to get up there. And you know.
No.
All right, Stephen. Hey, thanks.
And then no problem, Ryan. Thank you.
But, you know, have great stargazing, Stephen. I'm sure you will. Yeah, let's talk some space stuff. You know, let me talk about the Donald Trump thing. He was giving a speech earlier, and he was talking about the Space Force, which I think is awesome, and I need to get a T-shirt. I've always wanted to get a NASA shirt. Now I'm going to have to get a Space Force shirt. I just like that. But there's another story about Air Force pilots taking a video of what looked like a UFO, an unexplained, very fast-moving object, which I'll get to coming up, too, on Overnight America, Camo X. Welcome back to Overnight America. Thanks for joining us here. Got a couple of minutes. I guess we can talk some space stuff. But, you know, it's a bummer. Stephen Hawking passing away at the age of 76. There was a video that was posted with him and Neil deGrasse Tyson about a week ago having a conversation, which I'm going to have to go back and watch that maybe tomorrow when I get some free time. Let me get to Tom, who's calling in Ohio. Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Okay, Ryan. You know, I had a cousin who had multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. She was a normal, active individual, and then about late 30s, she started to have symptoms. And her body continually deteriorated, and when I last saw her, she was in a wheelchair where she could not move any body part from her neck down. In fact, it was just a little bit of being able to smile. She couldn't even nod.
Mm.
She could move her eyes left to right, and she could swallow.
Okay.
Now, she lost the swallowing afterwards, but the point being that...
Because she was able to move her eyes, it meant she could communicate.
Well, not only that, but there was technology that's the last time I saw her, that they had after that, where she could stare at the letters of the alphabet on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just for a few seconds, actually spell out words.
Mm-hmm.
And then the computer would take those words and through a synthesized voice.
Right.
Speak. And I suspect that may be what Stephen Hawking was doing.
Probably. With that technology, I mean, they put that together so long. I'd be impressed if they had that sort of ability for them to look at a screen and do it. But I guess they could have had eye-tracking technology back then. You know, he was given the opportunity so many years to update the voice so it didn't sound so computer. But he always said, you know, that's kind of the charm of it. I didn't want to change my voice. So he always kept with the old technology.
You know, and the thing I point out is my cousin's brain was fully intact. I mean, she was, you know, you could tell that she was alert and listening and be able to follow conversation and so forth. It's just she couldn't express it.
What a difficult thing to not be able to communicate with people, but your mind still working and you can communicate internally, but not have a way to someone else.
You know, my mother had her body fully intact, and then her mind went and. You know, that later led to deterioration of the body. But the other thing I thought about, I wonder if Stephen Hawking may well be our last human genius. I mean, you know, you think of Aristotle, and then we went through Leonardo da Vinci and Isaac Newton and Einstein and now Stephen Hawking. And they've got artificial intelligence to the point where they're on the verge of being able to have computers think for themselves, And I just wonder if maybe, you know, the next genius will be a Watson 2 or a Watson 3 or, you know, something of that nature.
Well, they got to pull the info from somewhere. Yeah, and someone's got to program them. And, but, you know, it's interesting you say that because how many different people take these polls online and then self-identify themselves as a genius? And you're right. There are some real smart and fascinating people out there. Stephen Hawking actually contributed something pretty genius.
Yeah, you can have a high IQ, but there are people behind bars who have high IQs.
See, I don't know what we value anymore. Like, look at Elon Musk, for example. He might not be a genius, but he is someone that has built and revolutionized a lot of different industry. You know, I would look at him as someone that's on the same level as Stephen Hawking.
Very creative, yeah. and be able to apply himself. Thomas Edison was pretty much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marconi had pretty much the same ideas, but
yeah.
Edison was able to, from a business sense, to make them work.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, did you ever follow up on that African Congress?
No, I never did. I meant to, but I never did.
Boy, and you probably never followed up on the puffed rice and puffed wheat either, huh? You're just slacking off with your homework.
I do. I go home and I slack all day. No, I just forgot about it. I'm sorry.
No, I'll tell you what. From what I can see, you spend enough hours in a day just preparing for your show and your other show that you do on Saturdays. And I'm just wondering if anybody out there, you know, in the listening audience has any more information on what's happening in Africa or how they make puffed rice and puffed wheat.
You know what I need to do? This is even better. I need to get my producer.
How do you, unless they have a special type of grain, wheat and rice, like they have with popcorn.
Yeah. How does it work?
They use?
Yeah, I got to get a producer onto that. They can put me on with an expert that can discuss it. That would be probably much better than me reading an article where I can ask questions and get into it. Hey, good to hear from you, Tom. Thanks for calling
in. Take care, Ryan.
All right, so we were talking about, real quick, President Trump in the space race. Here's what President Trump said earlier today. I think this is pretty fascinating because Space Force, I want in.
We've increased investment in hypersonic weapon systems by 50%. And we're accelerating development of hypersonic system that can fly five times the speed of sound. That's pretty quick. In space, the United States is going to do Colonel Glenn proud. We are finally going to lead again. You see what's happening. You see the rockets going up left and right. You haven't seen that for a long time. Very soon, we're going to Mars. You wouldn't have been going to Mars if my opponent won. That I can tell you. You wouldn't even be thinking about it. You wouldn't be thinking.
You know what? We're not going anyway because we're still at 2030-something at best.
My
United States gets up there.
Strategy for space recognizes that space is a warfighting domain, just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a Space Force.
Yes,
develop
please.
Another one. Space Force. We have the Air Force. We'll have the Space Force. We have the Army, the Navy. You know, I was saying it the other day because we're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Maybe we'll have to do that.
Oh, boy. Space Force. Get me that shirt. If they sell that shirt somewhere, sign me up. I'm going to get a Space Force shirt. Yeah, no, we're supposed to, at least as a country in NASA, they've been directed to try to get to Mars by 2030-something. However, the funding's not there, and they keep pushing it back because the new priority is the moon. You know who's trying to get to Mars? Elon Musk, privatizing his way there. So that really doesn't have much to do with NASA. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.